Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Now, one of the barriers to exercise and getting movement in consistently and adding resistance training at home is equipment. And it can be very expensive these days to find equipment that's going to hit the entire body and add enough resistance. So one thing we love to mention and talk about, because it's so easy to store, pack away, have in your home, and something we use and we've used with clients that we've had in person as well, is the Koba board. Now there is the Koba board plus, and they really were asked, you know, originally, this board was created to target the glutes, to lessen the pressure in your back, to lessen the pressure in your knees. And this is why we loved it. Literally studied to have better glute engagement. And so we really got on board with the Koba board. But now with so many people using it, they thought, well, I don't want to just have a device that works my legs. So how can we make this better to target the upper body as well? So Koba board actually listened, and they created this Koba board plus, and it's same scientifically proven to execute the 8 essential glute exercises at home with the addition of 2 handles and bands to work arms, abs, and core. So now they have it all on one device, endless workout options. It really does add the resistance that you need for your body, especially as we age. We have to be adding resistance to build healthy bone and muscle. So I hope that you go check this out. We have a 10% code for you. If you use code OPTIMAL, we're going to drop the link below. So check out the Koba board plus, especially again, if you're lacking equipment or we're coming into a colder season and you're not going to be able to go out to your garage or work out as often. Having something in your home that can easily store away underneath a bed or fold up or go into a closet, it's just so easy, it's so convenient, and it doesn't cost nearly what most of the workout equipment out there do cost. So again, get your Koba board plus, code OPTIMAL for 10% off.
Okay, symphysis pubis dysfunction.
SPD.
SPD. SPD. So this is what we're going to be going through today. And this is fairly relevant with Jen being pregnant, stepping into her third trimester in the next couple weeks. Actually, I guess by the time this goes out, you'll be, you know, well into your third trimester.
Yeah. Now I'm going to step into third try in 2 days.
2 days.
couple weeks. Two days. Oh my gosh. We're a little further along.
Well, in the next couple of weeks, you'll be really stepping into the third trimester.
Into the heat of it all. Yeah. So we're talking about this pelvic girdle pain, specifically around the pubis symphysis. So these, if we think about the pelvic bones, right, we can think about our hips, our pelvic bone, the things that we put our hands on.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the front where the bones connect is our pubic symphysis. And we have this little cartilage that helps to connect it. And there's very little movement or mobility that's typically associated there. But it's super common to have pain and dysfunction, especially during pregnancy.
Yes, especially during pregnancy. And our pelvis is like inherently this super, super stable structure. It actually has a lot more joints in it than we think. I mean, the pelvis itself is made up of our iliums, which is the big hip bones on the side that you feel, our ischiums, which attach into that, the pubic bones, and also our sacrum. And all of those kind of articulate at one point or another. And where the two pubic bones come together in the front, like Jen said, is that pubic symphysis. And especially in pregnancy, that's when, you know, our pelvis is preparing to deliver a baby. And the female body or anybody delivering is going to be releasing hormones. That's relaxin specifically starts to make some of those ligaments a little more lax. So where we've normally had a ton of just inherent stability in the pelvis, we're going to have a slight bit more movement. And that can cause our body just to feel unstable and unsafe, where we've normally had stability and now we don't. Our body's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Pain.
And I love that you said it that way too, because I think that's the important distinction that we want to start with. and then we're going to carry this through the rest of the podcast, is understanding this feeling of instability mm-hmm. versus the actual structural component and dysfunction of instability that we make up in our head. Now, this, it is described, I mean, you can Google it, right? It's instability of the pelvic girdle, right? And but then it's like, well, what does that really mean? What does instability really mean? And really what we're seeing is that instability is more of this increased sensitivity to our tissues changing based on hormones and that relaxin that he yeah. talked about, and ligaments kind of creating more laxity around the area. So this creates this increased sensitivity with our tissues, which tells our brain, hey, something is different.
Yeah.
Something is wrong. And it can perpetuate this feeling of pain that we feel. But it's not instability in a sense that we shouldn't move or we need to fear it or it's something wrong or bad. This is actually something extremely normal, healthy, it's needed for birth, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's just this increased sensitivity and sensation that we're feeling that we're calling and labeling instability. So if we can start to talk about what that means, you know, as we go through, I think that's what's really important.
Yeah, because I mean, when they say, sometimes they'll diagnose it by saying like there's a diastasis or a gap mm-hmm. in those pubic bones. And I think it said something greater than 10 millimeters, which 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter, that's like barely a quarter inch. So it's just like not a ton of a gap there. But again, just more space than our body's used to.
Yes.
And so again, we start to have this sensitivity and our body's going to try to find stability from somewhere else. And generally how our brain perceives that is pain, or there might be some inflammatory processes that kick in because they're like, okay, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm. And usually we equate that then to injury or harm or something bad is happening. And again, we want to especially highlight during pregnancy time, this isn't something that's bad. This is something that's normal and natural. So we continue to say, okay, well, what can we do about it then, right? So I will say, as I said earlier, right, I'm stepping into my third trimester. Belly's definitely growing and he's showing, he's moving a lot more. I'm still moving very, very consistently, at least 3 times a week, if not, well, I mean, in typical workouts, 3 times a week at least, if not a little bit more, walking as often as I can. And what I do want to say as well is that I'm not feeling, I have had sensations of, yeah. That's interesting, especially when I get up from moving. Mm-hmm. I have this feeling of increased sensation, definitely high into my groin area or pubic symphysis area, goes away super quick. So I'm grateful right now that it's not holding me back from movement. And I don't want to negate the fact that this happens to a lot of people. This has happened to a lot of incredible movers that I know who are very educated about the body and move a lot and have had severe, you know, symphysis pubis pain. So I don't want to, you know, put that out, but we just want to say, okay, what can help and what can change? And I do have a girlfriend, one of my best friends right now, who's in her third trimester. And I believe it was earlier on in the third trimester. So probably around 26, 27 weeks, maybe even a little bit before that, she really started to feel some severe symptoms, and she's a nurse, so she's constantly on her feet.
And she was having some pubic symphysis pain. She was also having some SI type issues, if I remember correct.
More pubic symphysis pain.
But also having other symptoms around the pelvis, which is, you know, a way that this can present too, because that increased laxity or increased sensitivity might not just happen in the pubic symphysis alone.
100%. If our ligaments are changing, they're changing literally everywhere within our body, right? And so I do want to talk about what's ultimately helped her. I did, you know, sit down with her and we went over exercises, not in the worst of her stage, but kind of later when we could get together. And then I really want to talk about later on what's ultimately helped her, which I think is going to be super fascinating because it's not necessarily movement related. So we'll talk about that as we continue to go on. But it is, you know, if we look at the percentages of how common this is, it's so common.
Yeah. Right? Well, especially in pregnancy.
Yes.
I mean, there's there's few people who don't feel these symptoms in pregnancy.
Yeah. So it's estimated that, you know, it occurs, what did it say? 56 to 72% within the prenatal period, you know, and 20% reporting severe symptoms, and 33 to 50% report symptoms before even 20 weeks. And when we break that down to who has pain, about 75% reported it that it started within first trimester, and then 89% reported that it started in second and third trimester. So, it, you know, this can happen very early on, and it's most important then to say, okay, how can I start to get a hold of it before, right? Before I'm pregnant, maybe, or what can I start to do now?
And just for anybody who might be wondering, every time we say pubic symphysis or this symphysis thing, like how to find it, if you go from your belly button and just start kind of pressing down below your belly button, you know, before you even get to your penis or vagina, you're going to hit this bone, right? And that's our pubic, the top portion of our pubic symphysis. So you can actually feel and palpate that on yourself. And what the symptoms present like, it's really going to feel sharp in a lot of ways, like especially with changes in positioning. People will say like, oh, I get this sharp stabbing pain, a burning sensation, maybe a grinding feeling. And a lot, like you said, even with changes in position, if you're like laying down and suddenly you get up, standing on one leg or loading on one leg, going upstairs. So anything that's going to be kind of putting torque through that pelvis, which every time we take a step and we walk, we're going to be putting torque through that pelvis. It's going to point out some of those increased sensitivities where we might have a little extra laxity compared to what we normally do, or a little less stability.
Mm-hmm. So our brain's going to be talking to us.
Yeah.
And when we look at it, especially if you Googled it, right? Especially if you Googled it, or some studies that just don't have concrete evidence, you know, we're looking at quote unquote possible causes. And I don't always like looking at these things. I'm going to say that right up front, because there was a lot that I just like, I blatantly don't agree with, because I think it has to do so much more than weight, maternal age, misalignment of the pelvis. You guys know how I hate that one. So like, I don't agree with a lot of these blanket possible causes. If anything, I think if you've had a history of low back pain, yeah, you probably are more sensitive in that area already around the pelvis to have pain. If you've had pelvic trauma, so maybe you've been in an accident, you fell, you've slipped, you've had injury to this area before.
Traumatic birthing experiences, things like that.
Yeah. And then the one that really stuck out to me too was a lack of exercise. And it's actually being promoted now that we want at least 150 minutes a week. Stop. At least 150 minutes a week from the, I think it was like the American obstetrician.
Yeah.
Whatever that college is.
Obstetrics and gynecology, something or the other.
Yeah. They recommended, you know, at least 150 minutes
a week.
Some
experts who are supposed to know what they're talking about. And one of the last things that seemed to be a risk factor, which I think is very credible in saying that fear, any sort of fear around this pelvic pain. Again, like, you know, that when we've talked about persistent pain issues or low back pain or recurring or chronic low back symptoms, fear is huge, because fear elevates the overall sensitivity of our nervous system. Any sort of anxiety around movement, any sort of anxiety to load in the positions that we might be having pain in, we start to then connect this fear with those pain patterns. And anytime we have fear about moving or fear of picking something up or going upstairs, we're actually prepping and perpetuating that pain through those pain patterns that we start to develop.
It's kind of cool. He's moving right now, so I'm like super distracted. But
I see her over there feeling her belly. Focus.
Okay, I'm focusing.
Focus.
You know, and it's interesting, if we go into like the general testing, there's four different movement activities that they kind of look at. That would be specific pain in the area. So again, we're looking at pain right in that front of that pelvis, right at the bottom. We're looking at pain with walking, standing on one leg, climbing stairs, turning over in bed. That's a huge one that I hear for so many people. And especially previous damage to any of these areas. So that's kind of like the, if you have all five of these factors kind of you know, then we can say, oh, you have symphysis pubis dysfunction.
Yeah. And a lot when we were looking in the studies, a lot of the different outcome measures or there's a bunch of other tests, but yeah. Like a lot of what I saw people testing to find improvement was what you call a patient-specific functional scale, which when you're having this pain, things like going upstairs might be one of the things that elicits pain the most, or even just getting in and out of a car mm-hmm. or up from a toilet. So they'll ask how much difficulty you have doing something like that and then see if it improves with certain treatments. Mm-hmm. And certain treatments, especially the ones that we like to promote because it's what we do, it's movement-based, mm-hmm. it has to deal a lot with movement. And so education on load management, how can we maybe work within some of these movements but scale back the amount of load we're putting through, keeping your legs together because that's inherently a more stable position when you're mm-hmm. getting out of a car or standing up from a chair.
You're turning over in bed.
Just like education mm-hmm. on some of these movements so that we can put a little less torque through that pelvis. And of course, like rest when necessary, because like you said, 20% of people report this as severe pain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just something that it's just like, okay, let's just suck it up and learn how to do these movements differently. It might take some rest to get that sensitivity to come down, to focus just on supine breath work and pelvic stability exercises and some basic deep core exercises so that you can inherently find that stability inside your own core and pelvis to then progress to doing something like stairs.
I think it's really empowering when you can feel change within yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Without needing an outside person, without needing an outside source, which we're going to talk about as well, and mm-hmm. where that definitely can be beneficial. However, when you start to feel changes within what you do, if you're doing something, right? You're finding this breath work and saying, oh my God, my pain is gone right now. Or you do these exercises and you then get up and move and you're like, whoa, I feel something so different. Like I don't feel the pain coming on so strongly. When we have these kinds of internal responses, it's just going to help to drive that, decrease our fear, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to help us
give
to
us some
feel
power.
More, yeah, and feel more empowered that we have the control over this rather than it having the control over us. Because again, we know this is normal. This is so natural. Our hormones are going to change and this is necessary during birth. So really focusing, like that's the education that we talk about, right? We want to know, we want to empower you that this is normal, natural, and this is okay. You're not alone in feeling this. And there are tools that can help. And one of those tools that is often talked about is a compressive belt. So this is like an SI belt you can look up. It's just going to help to aid in that compression low underneath the belly that helps to create this sense of compression, this sense of stability, which is going to change our sensitivity that our brain is responding to within these tissues.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, similar to any joint. If we're having knee pain and we mm-hmm. put a compressive sleeve on our knee, it gives us more proprioceptive input,
yes.
which helps us have that joint sense of what's going on. Like I've had injuries in my knees and I love wearing leggings when I play basketball or go on runs because it gives me just a slight bit of compression around my knee and I like having that feedback. I mean, same concept with this stability belt is that you put it around your pelvis, it gives you a little bit of that compression and gives you, you know, the sense of having more stability. And I mean, then here's the funny thing about research is you can literally look up research studies for any outcome you might be hoping to see.
100%.
Where there were research studies that said, oh, we compared exercise and education on movement to these pelvic stability belts.
Yeah.
And we found that exercise was not as effective as pelvic stability belts.
Yeah.
And then we found a research study that said we gave exercise and education to everybody and then gave stability belts just to this group. And we found that they didn't have any extra benefit from having the stability belt. So the exercise and the education was enough. They weren't getting any significant extra benefit from these belts. So, you know, that tells us that there's a spectrum of responses to just getting exercise and advice on certain movement patterns. And then our first question is, you know, okay, look into the methods of that study and see what they actually did as far as these, quote, exercises or stability and strengthening exercises, because mm-hmm. I think that's really the most important thing, is what you're actually doing. And so there are research studies that show that those can be effective in reducing pain and symptoms and increasing people's scores on these functional scales for activities like going upstairs and standing up without pain, standing on one leg. So yeah, there's the proof is out there. There's a bunch of different types of studies that show that exercise can be beneficial, especially when you're using the right ones.
And it depends on the exercise, right? We're going to talk about different exercises that you can do to help. However, in general, like even when we talk about increasing that stability, using core support, bringing your legs together when you're getting in and out of a car, what we do also want to preface is that if you don't have a variety of movement and you're always like, is my core engaged? Are my legs together? Is this happening? We increase our fear of movement. So we have to be careful with things that help to reduce symptoms and knowing and telling our body that this is never safe and okay. And it is a fine balance, right? But this is where education, I think, of movement becomes so incredibly important, and understanding that this feeling of instability isn't an injury, but it is a feeling. It is a sensation that our body is responding to. So if we can start to change that sensation, then we can start to, you know, create more movement. We can reduce the fear of movement, and we can reduce our sensitivity to those movements. And so this is where, yes, we're going to talk about exercise and things you can do. And like, we have to always be mindful of, like, there's not one exercise, there's not one thing. And I think that's what's so hard with studies too, because we have no idea if you're saying, oh, well, the exercise didn't help. Well, what exercises were they giving? And were they really limited on, like, this is how you have to move, and this, and creating more fear in someone? And that increase of fear led to not feeling an improvement in symptoms. So it's just so incredibly important to say, this is why Dom and I like have an issue with always looking at studies, because then we're limited to what we can actually do with the human in front of us.
Yeah. I mean, the studies themselves are so limited and concise in their methods that, like you said, okay, that the things that you're doing when you're feeling pain, you're going upstairs, you're standing on one leg, you're using every muscle that is attaching to the pelvis.
Yeah.
So how can we give strengthening and stability exercises that are going to help address and help us understand and assess every single muscle that is attaching into the pelvis? I mean, our quads, our hamstrings, all of our glute muscles, all of our adductors on the inside of our groin,
our pelvic floor, our back,
everything, low back muscles, everything attaches into the pelvis. So if we were to come out with this huge stability and strengthening program, it would take 3 hours to do, because you'd literally be working all the muscles from your nipples to your knees.
Exactly. Well, and then where do those all attach to? Down to the feet. How is our single leg? You know, it's just like, we can get really deep into this, right? And so in general, we're going to give exercise recommendations on the generality of what can really help, and what we can do, how we can start to look at movement to be beneficial. And I think going back to this idea of load management and our capacity for load is so important. So if we're talking about exercise, we're not going to say, okay, go get behind a barbell, you know, start squatting and there's some heavy weight. No, we're going to break down movement from the basics and see how you start to tolerate and feel with that. Even from, let's go on your back and allow a knee to fall out a little bit and pull it back in. Did that cause pain?
Because then you're lengthening and shortening the adductors.
Yeah.
That attach onto the inside. And you're using some of those rotators.
And our core support, our core stability, as we're allowing it to come back in and out. So we start there, right?
We can start doing that as you inhale and exhale so that you're getting your diaphragm and your pelvic floor to lengthen and contract, and finding, okay, when I'm exhaling, when I let my knee out, do I feel a little more symptoms there? Or when I'm inhaling, when I let my knee go out, and mixing that up, because then you can start to find, because when we're inhaling, that's when our pelvic floor is lengthening, and when we're exhaling, that's when it's contracting or shortening. So you can find, like, oh, okay, that helps me feel a little more stability there when I'm lightly moving those legs. And like you said, there doesn't have to be any real load behind it other than your leg itself.
And we can, we'll show this on YouTube as well, what we mean by this exercise, because like how far can your knee go out without your hips rotating or your hips moving with it, right? And then how far can you go before you start feeling pain? So that's our load management too. Like we allow the knee to fall out before pain and then we pull it back in. We use that breath. We use that core engagement, that adductor strength to start to build that capacity to start to tolerate new ranges and new motion. Or maybe it's not even doing a knee fallout. Maybe it's just laying on your back with your knees bent and putting a pillow between your knees and starting with some squeezes. That's it. Yep. You know, like we can start very basic, but ultimately if we want you to be climbing stairs and picking up things or taking care of other kids that you might have around or doing your job, you know, without pain, well, then we can't just look at these exercises that are just laying on our back or laying on our side and say, that's going to make all the difference. Well, no, then yeah. We have to start looking at, okay, how do we get up and move? And that's where we do want to go back into things like lunges, but maybe we want to put a different spin on the lunge. And this is, mm-hmm. again, go on our YouTube, Doc Jen Fit, and look at this video on YouTube as well, because we'll show and demonstrate lunges rather than just, you know, lunging, whether it's forward or backward. We're actually thinking of taking our hip back and rotating through our core a little bit. We're getting this oblique kind of access from our shoulder to our hip to kind of work together. And that's going to actually help to open up that hip and pelvis, get a little bit more movement so that we're not compressing or putting too much force on different areas within the mm-hmm. SI area or the pubis symphysis, the back. And we're going to actually help to lengthen those glutes and then shorten the glutes as we're doing lunging, as we're doing squatting, as we're doing deadlifting. Like our biomechanics and how we move and how we open up the pelvis becomes so incredibly crucial and really important.
Yeah. And something that I'm thinking of when you're saying all these, so like to jump from just like laying on your back and letting your leg go in and out to like doing variations of lunges and deadlifts and whatnot, it could seem like a jump, especially if you're somebody who's experiencing severe symptoms.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking of are like the muscle activations that we do. Mm-hmm. There's tons of these muscle activations on the Gen Health platform. If you haven't checked out Gen Health yet, you definitely should try it out. There's a free week trial that you can always get into. And if you just type in muscle activations, you can take a look at a lot of what's available, but it basically brings you to the ground and gets you to start putting some of these like alternating pressures on the body. Mm-hmm. And there's lunge variations where you have your feet into the wall or your feet up on a bench and you're pulling down through one heel while kind of pushing the opposite foot towards the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And that's going to start to simulate that pressure that we put through our pelvis when we walk. We're pulling through one heel as we're pushing the other leg forward. So mm-hmm. we're using kind of quads on one side, quads and hip flexors on one side, as we're using hamstrings and glutes on the other side. So you know, something that you can do to even simulate that right now is get on the floor, get into kind of your bridge position, push down through one foot and just lightly lift the other one off the ground, right? And then push into that other one with your hand even. That, like Jen said, is going to start to get you to activate that oblique line in that supine or laying down on your back position so that you can then maybe bring that into something like stepping up onto a stair or a lunge.
Mm-hmm. And I love like, and this is where, so Dom touched on it, right? That oblique line. If we look at like the fascial slings that Tom Myers kind of brought to our world, when we start to look at the oblique lines, we see how we, you know, we have our external internal obliques kind of cross into our adductors or our inner thighs, right? And so our obliques on one side cross to our inner thigh on the opposite side. And if we look at where that crosses, that's going to cross that pubis symphysis area. And mm-hmm. so if I do exercises that help to support that inner thigh and that oblique line or those obliques on the other side, and you can do, I think twisting becomes really controversial in pregnancy. Listen, you don't want to be doing like your rotational oblique things, right? Where we're taking a ball and kind of like putting it side to side. We don't want to be doing those types of things, but we can activate our obliques through chops, So being in a lunge, grabbing a band and doing some chops, we can start to activate where you don't even need a lot of rotation through your spine. And if we think of rotating more from the upper back rather than the low back, well, then we're not putting a lot of tension and pressure around the abdomen in general. So, you know, there's holds that we can do, there's chops that we can do, you know, just starting to activate what's going to, there's side plank variations where we can start to do like modified Copenhagens on a knee, but that's going to start to get our inner thigh. Yep. Again, we'll show these exercises on YouTube, their inner thigh plus our oblique. And the side plank doesn't put as much pressure on your abdomen, especially the front of the abdomen that we kind of want to avoid as we get later in pregnancy, as a regular plank. So a side plank is a good variation to take there. And then we also want to look at, okay, well, our posterior oblique line, like this, this sling as well is really important for that back of the pelvis. So how are we activating our lat and our glute? And you can do this, I mean, really easily. You can think of exactly the one Dom said, you know, laying on the ground, putting your leg on the ground, kind of doing a bridge and then pushing the opposite arm down into the ground. So one leg is pushing into the bridge, opposite arm, that's going to get the lat to the glute. We could also do like a lunge with a pull of the band. Opposite arm is going to kind of pulling that band as you're lunging with that single leg. All of these things, exercise, movement, create that internal support and stability without having to think of, am I kegeling? Am I pulling that transverse abdominis on? Am I holding that core support exactly how am I supposed to, you know? And it gets us into the single leg work, which is ultimately what we're having the most sensitivity with.
And doing a lot of this in preparation too, because sometimes like if, you know, if you get into pregnancy and you start having severe symptoms, then, you know, we're trying to work from a deficit. And when you're already having pain, it's really hard to build where your first goal is just getting out of pain in general.
Exactly.
And so anybody who's thinking about making the journey into pregnancy, that's where this is great to start. It's great to start now, even if you're not thinking about becoming pregnant for the next year or 2 years, kind of preparing your body for things like this. Like Jen said, if you got super confused listening to all the exercises that we were listing off, we're going to try showing a lot of those in the YouTube highlight that we put up on YouTube. So you can go over and check some of those out. And you know, kind of bring it back around to what Jen was saying, where you haven't had a ton of pain and you haven't had a ton of symptoms. You've had glimpses here and there with changes in position and stuff, but then you kind of bring yourself back to your own stability. And you know, if I can give my two cents on why I think that is, I think it's like, okay, you have great mobility overall. Like that's, you know, from gymnastics and just inherently now you tend to have great mobility, but you've continued strength training, you know, coming up to pregnancy, into early pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You took a little step back first trimester, but you kept moving. Mm-hmm. You were doing just slightly less weight in those resistance training. So you've continued to build and coach that internal stability into your body through all those oblique swings, through your pelvic floor, through your breath, and just like general core support. And so, you know, it's an anecdotal, you know, evidence of one. It's a case report of mm-hmm. one person and yourself who's not really having pain, but you've been doing thoughtful activations and strength and resistance training throughout. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like the conservative treatment approaches that we've seen is exactly that.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, so if anyone's asking, well, what am I doing? I'm literally following my own full body low impact plan on Gen Health. So I started with phase one when we all did it together as a big community, which was so much fun to have so many people moving and doing it all with you. And then I've continued on. So now I'm in phase two. By the time this comes out, I'm probably going to be testing the phase three that we're going to release as well. And it's just so easy, one, to have a plan to come to every single day and not have to think. And so that gets me exercising and doing that resistance training at least 3 times a week. Sometimes I'll add another workout if I'm feeling good. So 3 to 4 times a week, I'm strength training. And then outside of that, I'm doing the modified core because I show modifications and I have this little pregnancy highlight on the front of my page that's called Pregnancy Mods. And I give some of my, like how I'm modifying some of the movements where I'm not laying on my stomach or I'm not doing the core, you know, and so I kind of show some of those modifications that you can look at. But I'm literally doing the full body low impact plan because like Dom said, it has the muscle activations, it has the mobility, which isn't just stretching, right? It's actual activations. And I'm doing the strength workouts. I have taken a step back from HIIT just personally on my body. I notice when I get swelling and I know that my body's working a little bit harder than it probably needs to. So I back off of a lot of HIIT type movements and I'm focusing more on walking and strengthening and doing literal full body low impact plan on Jen Health. So if you're confused of how to access that plan, we're going to have it linked up where it's just jen.health/free trial. And that's how you can start a free trial on Jen Health. And then if you choose full body as your body part, when you're coming into the plan, that's how you'll see the full body low impact plan on your homepage. So that is,
or the core plan, which also is great to explore the core and pelvic floor and start to find that activation if you've ever heard us talking about that and are wondering, how do I get that? So,
I mean, so I would say that one's a little bit harder during pregnancy, though, because there are going to be a lot more modifications.
Laying on your belly or something like that. Yeah.
So I would say, I mean, honestly, full body low impact plan, you're going to get all the pieces of it. It's so important. And then I want to circle back to what I said, one of my best friends who was having pretty severe symptoms, and now she's not having symptoms and she's well into third try. What she's really changed. So yes, we got together, you know, and this is, her symptoms have already calmed down a bit, and we did some of the exercises that we were talking about, and those helped. And she really had a lot of tightness, I would say, in the back of her pelvic floor muscles. And so getting her to understand how to open up and kind of get into the back of her pelvic floor was really beneficial. But the thing that she just told me that's changed the most and had the biggest impact is sleep. Because so she was normally working night shifts as a nurse, and she asked to switch that over to day shift. So now she's eating at normal times throughout the day. She's sleeping at normal times throughout the day, and she has no more pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything, right? If we talk about pain symptoms, it's not just movement, but it's your emotional well-being. It's your sleep. It's stress. It's all these components that add into having increased sensitivity in your tissues. I hope you really enjoyed that. That was just like a snippet of everything that you can do. Again, go to YouTube, subscribe at Doc Jen Fit, because you're going to see so many more of these exercises as we talk about them. And then, of course, please share this out with any pregnant mama that you know. Empower her with the tools and the education of getting to know her own body.